Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Wednesday, April 14th, 2010, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me.
Look, this isn't my line.
That's all right. Don't be nervous. Just sit down. You'll probably learn something. Listen, I have another ridiculously wonderful program for you today. And it's one of them twofer shows, don't you know? My guest, our conversation, and the theme of this podcast easily falls into both the Sex Education and the Erotic Mind series. I mean, who doesn't like to get two bangs for his buck? I have the honor of welcoming a man of distinction here in the Emerald City. I have here with me the oh-so-talented Clayton Hibbert. He is the artistic director for the upcoming Seattle Erotic Art Festival.
I didn't mean to be that rough.
Don't worry about it. We get lots of newbies in here. Despite the fact that this world-class event is only days away, and the demands on his time are exceptionally pressing, he agreed to sit down with me to discuss the festival, how it works, the gargantuan behind-the-scenes effort to mount a three-day extravaganza like this, and what visitors to the festival can expect this year. We've also put together a fabulous slideshow of some highlights from past festivals. They will give you an eyeful of the delight that awaits you at the 8th Annual Seattle Erotic Art Festival. Look for it on my site, drdicksexadvice.com.
I was sorry to read about that thing in the paper.
They promised they'd keep that quiet. Clayton invites you to visit the Seattle Erotic Art Festival website at seattleerotic.org. Today's podcast is once again brought to you by our friends at adultsextoys.com. You'll find all the quality brand names like Fleshlight, Lilo, Tantus, Fun Factory at adultsextoys.com. But here's the amazing thing about our sponsor. They make you a promise. They will not be undersold. That's right, they guarantee the lowest price on the net. And who has money to burn at times like these? Now, isn't this precisely the kind of competitive edge you look for in an online retailer? I know I do. But that's not all. At adultsextoys.com, you don't pay sales tax. That's right, sex fans. They pay the freaking taxes for you. Still not convinced Adult Sex Toys is the place to shop? How about if I tell you that they are currently offering a free shipping promotion and free gifts just for the asking? I'm telling you, people, you can't beat these deals with a stick.
I think I can lick it.
Let's hope so. Look for the handsome AdultSexToys.com banner in the sidebar of my site and pay them a visit. You'll soon be convinced, as I am, that they are some kind of wonderful. Okay, on with the show. Clayton, thank you so much for dropping by DrDickSexAdvice.com. I know that you are exceptionally busy putting together the final touches on the upcoming Seattle Erotic Art Festival, so your time with us is more precious than ever. Would you like to say hello to the nice people?
Thank you. Hello. Thank you for having me.
And since we're here as part of the Sex Education series as well as the Erotic Mind podcast series, you can be certain that there are a load of big fat perverts out there too. Would you like to say hello to them as well?
Excellent. Hello. Yes, we're all a bunch of perverts working on this one way or another. So hello.
Good, good, good. So I can just want to say before we begin that all the credit for you and I being here goes to Clea Hersberger, the communications manager for the Seattle Erotic Art Festival. Her tenacity, perseverance, and can-do attitude made our connection possible. So a big, fat shout-out to the amazing Clea for a job well done.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, Clayton, you are the artistic director for the entire Seattle Erotic Art Festival event. I'll bet you that along with that prestigious title, there comes a shitload of hard work.
That's true.
Can you tell us what's involved in your role as artistic director?
In my role, I take on a few key pieces of the festival, in addition to some larger, big picture issues. So mm-hmm. I take care of the overall look and feel of the festival, mm-hmm. how we present that to the public. That includes how we market ourselves, how we, and to me, how it feels when you walk in the door. That's a big part of what I care about. I also pay very close attention to the performance aspects of the uh-huh. festival, which is where my personal roots and experience are, is in the performance arts part of things. So as much as I can, I keep my hands busy in that, but also taking care of, to work with Anna, the festival director, and with Claire, the exhibition director, to manage the overall, the way the whole thing fits together.
Right. Interesting. Is there a casting couch?
There is. A very coveted piece of furniture.
That's what we all like to know. So who do you have to sleep to get into this show anyhow?
Probably me.
All right, well, I can testify, mm-hmm. ladies and gentlemen, that would not be a difficult decision for anyone to make.
Thank you.
So let's talk about you. How did a nice man like you get all balled up in this enterprise?
I started as a docent, as a matter of fact.
Is that right?
Yeah, I volunteered 1 year at the suggestion of someone else who was already volunteering, and I just I walked in, and this was in 2006 was the first year I was mm-hmm. involved, and wow. I walked in, and I just wanted to help. I just wanted to contribute, so I signed up, and I was a docent, which essentially means you give people tours of the mm-hmm. of the space and show them the art, and I got to know a few of the people involved with that, including that year Jeff Hengst, who is the owner director of Little Red Studio.
Right.
And Little Red Studio was coordinating the volunteers for the festival that year, and he invited me to then become part of Little Red Studio, where I then learned a whole lot about how to put a show together and how to present the erotic in a way that's safe and interesting and exciting for people. Mm-hmm. And then I brought that experience with me back to the festival.
Cool beans. And can you tell us something about the background that prepared you for this fabulous position? I mean, is this something that you studied in college? Are you a performance person yourself?
You know, I'm not a performer. I do work in a creative position, though. I'm a manager of a group at a cancer research center.
No kidding.
And so I manage other artists, and so that's a big part of how I would describe my job there and here, and that is that I help creative people be successful. And so my background is not in theater, but in kind of arts administration.
Right.
Yeah.
Good. Let's talk about the history of the Seattle Erotic Art Festival. The upcoming 2010 event is the 8th annual. Is that correct?
Right. Yep. That's right. Mm-hmm.
So it's not a fly-by-night kind of thing.
No, we've been doing this now for 8 years. This is my fifth year mm-hmm. being involved, and it's.
Is this your first directorship?
No, this will be my third year in this particular.
Wow.
Role. Yeah, but the event started as in its first year as a fundraiser for mm-hmm. the Foundation for Sex Positive Culture. We no longer consider it a fundraiser, but that's where it started.
Right.
And it grew out of the life drawing programs that were happening at the center at that
no
point.
No kidding.
And the artists, especially Jim Duvall and Elena Gabosh, who were part of that at the time, and other folks that I don't know as well, were wanting a place to show their art. Mm-hmm. And so they decided that there needed to be some place where this kind of art could be taken seriously and wasn't just dismissed as porn or something not worth hanging on your wall.
Right.
So they created a show specifically for that.
Right. I did not know the beginning of that. And you know, I've talked at length with Elena. She was one of my early interviews a couple of years ago now, and so she was the first one who introduced me to the Erotic Art Festival. Mm. She's an amazing woman. So. Who is really behind this effort? Is it the center?
Yeah, the center and the Foundation for Sex Positive Culture together uh-huh. are the the parents of this organization,
right.
And so we are a program of the foundation.
Uh-huh.
So we're the flagship program of
right.
that of right, that
right,
nonprofit.
Right. Yeah, and you get sponsorships and help from lots and lots of really mainline kind of organizations here in the Emerald City. Is that not correct?
We do get some, although the being a sex related event, we sometimes sponsorships are a little delicate, but
uh-huh.
but we have Toys and Babeland has sponsored us in the
right.
past. The Stranger's been a
right.
big supporter. The Weekly,
yes.
The
Sinner,
the Seattle Sinner.
I write for the Sinner.
Excellent, yeah, the Sinner. Seattle Gay News.
Mm-hmm.
We get a lot of press support.
Right.
We haven't gone after sponsors in a more traditional
yeah,
way. We don't
like
have
corporate
a,
donors.
We don't have a lot of corporate donors. We don't have a big alcohol sponsor
right,
or that sort
right,
of thing.
Right. Yeah.
We just haven't wanted to hang Red Bull banners in our
yeah.
event, and so we've been a little delicate about
yeah.
about who we approach.
Yeah. Besides, it would seem to me, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it would seem to me that the bigger the donors, the more likely that they would want to impact the medium, the stuff that you guys present. And that is always a dicey kind of thing.
Correct. Yeah, we really think of ourselves as an art-centric event,
yeah.
and not just some kind of entertainment.
Right.
So we want to preserve that, and
right.
we want to work with sponsors who understand that vision.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And who are not going to come in and you know try to edit.
Right.
either the mission or the statements
right.
for that matter.
Right. Censorship is a big issue for,
yes.
for us. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything to do with sexuality, let's face it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been approached at several periods in my career for people wanting to participate with Dr. Dick in one shape or another, particularly in terms of podcast sponsorships or the like, and you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you could only just tone that down a little bit,
uh-huh,
or don't
right.
say that, or if you could just, and I'm going, you know,
right,
that doesn't give you editorial, you know,
indeed, right.
credit there. Okay, good, good, good. So, this festival will be held once again this year at the historic Seattle Center Exhibition Hall, which is right smack dab in the middle of the Emerald City. How did you guys score that? That's a coup.
Yeah, we did that on purpose. We really wanted to be at the center of culture in the city. It means a lot when your event takes place at the you know at the center of things,
mm-hmm.
like that, instead of in a dirty warehouse somewhere that
or
people would have to,
for that
yeah, yeah. So it's you know, it means a lot when our name is up with Seattle Erotic Art Festival
yes,
on the marquee
exactly.
down at Seattle
yeah.
Center.
It does lend legitimacy to the whole
correct.
Thing. Not that it
yeah.
needs legitimacy, but it does. I mean, for
does,
you know
yep.
people
mm-hmm.
walking by and say, oh, look at that. You know, the connection is made
yep.
that you know this is something Seattle, and
right.
for sure.
It does, yeah. And that it's expensive to put on an event there, but
yeah.
it's certainly in line with our mission to
yeah.
bring that kind of art into
yeah.
a more visible public
yeah.
place.
Right. So, in fact, this is a world-class event, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Other cities around the world have similar events. How does our festival measure up to the competition?
Well, for instance, the kind of the big brother of our festival in terms of age and size is the Detroit Dirty Show. And,
get out!
And I grew up in Detroit,
oh.
So that event is familiar to me, and I've attended it. And it's a couple years older than us,
uh-huh.
and it's bigger in terms of attendance. But their event has a completely different mission
uh-huh.
than ours. I mean,
uh-huh.
we are a nonprofit
uh-huh.
Based program, and they are not.
Mm-hmm.
They are. They're a show. They're entertainment,
right.
And so we focus on supporting artists, on
mm-hmm.
selling art,
mm-hmm.
on presenting as broad a gamut of things as we can,
mm-hmm.
and on building community and understanding around
mm-hmm.
sexuality, and
right.
and so an event that has a for-profit mission approaches things in a very different
right.
way than we
one
do.
One would expect, yeah. Huh. So the festival is more than a bunch of erotic pictures hanging on the wall. The Seattle Erotic Art Festival website states, "The festival is a vibrant and colorful event showcasing world-class art and creative expression of many forms that will delight your senses. Whether you join us to stroll through the visual art exhibition, delight in performances and interactive installations, indulge in erotic literary art, pursue our expansive festival store, or dance with us after hours,
right.
We promise that you will be glad you came out to play with us. That's a mouthful. Can you break that down for us a bit? Tell us, what is the visual art exhibition, for one?
So the visual art exhibition is a huge part of what we do, and that includes the juried art, which is the art that the public, the world at large, has submitted, and our jury has anonymously selected from that. And
can you tell us how many submissions and how many people made the cut?
There will be at least 200 pieces of jury-selected art.
Wow.
And that came from more than 1,500 submissions.
Wow.
So the juried art is then displayed next to invited art, which is hand-selected by a curator, to show a different perspective on some of those things.
Right. And how many pieces, do you have an idea of how many pieces were invited?
Generally about 300 total pieces. So there should be roughly 100 pieces of invited art to go with the jury selected pieces.
And this is all kinds of media, yes?
It is, yeah. That includes painting, photography, sculpture, other kinds of 3D mixed media pieces. Wow. Yeah, the whole range.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a spectacular event. I went for the first time last year, and I was just stunned.
That's
it was just, it was absolutely amazing. But that's not all.
No, that's definitely not all. The performances and the interactive stuff really help make it feel like a festival.
Yeah.
So
this
year the performance part of things is dramatically different from anything we've done before.
Is that right?
We've commissioned a show. We've hired a director named Roger Bennington, who's a Juilliard trained director that we hired from New York City to shape a completely new show for us, with original music and original performances that tells a compelling story about someone's erotic experiences.
Mm-hmm. And this goes on throughout the 3 days?
It happens, the show runs just over an hour in length, and that will happen once each night.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
happens on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights.
I see, good. Mm-hmm. So last year there were like little art installations, would that be a good word for it?
Uh-huh,
like monks,
yeah.
You know, amazing.
Yes, absolutely.
Acrobatics.
Uh-huh.
And the suspension bondage and stuff like that.
Yes, absolutely.
So there are going to be those kind of things as well?
Yeah, there's a whole host of interactive things that will be distributed throughout the space.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. And Just to be in the company of such creative people, and you know that people who are, you know, on the cutting edge in terms of, you know, not just on the cutting edge of creativity, but also the cutting edge of, you know, sexual expression. I just think it's a wonderful place to be. You don't get that.
That's true.
Often.
Yeah.
And or anywhere besides a few places on this planet.
And that's why I've originally volunteered, personally, because I wanted to spend some time with those like-minded people.
Yeah, and that's why I like promoting it, too, because I'm thinking that there are people that I know that, you know, attend from, like, all over the country, from Canada, too. So I'm delighted to encourage other folks to participate.
Yes, thank you.
So there's the erotic literary art component as well. Can you talk
absolutely.
To us about
this
that?
This is the second year that we will have that, that we added. We added for the first time last year. So we accept submissions to a jury panel the same way we do the visual arts.
Mm-hmm.
So plays, poems, short stories, scripts, those kinds of written work that then passes through a jury and then is available for reading at the festival and presented in a kind of parlor where you can sit and read the materials, and then we have staged readings throughout the day also.
Right. In fact, I think last year I promoted this amongst the people that have participated in the Erotic Mind podcast series, and I think some of the people from the series participated, and I think some of those folks actually got in. So I'm really delighted. It's a great you know, simpatico kind of connection that we have going.
Brilliant.
And one final thing, the Festival Store, can you tell us about that?
Yeah, the Festival Store is a very popular part of what we do. We have thousands, literally thousands of erotic works, both from this year's artists that are hanging on the wall, so you can purchase prints and other work from those artists, and from artists who've shown in past years at the festival.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, you'll find promotional stuff for the festival, like t-shirts and that kind of thing, as well as assorted things that we as a festival want to present and think that our attendees might find interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very unusual place to shop, and almost everybody who goes in there walks away with something fun.
Oh, and I forgot, I was going to ask you also about the after-hours dance.
Oh, yes, that's something that I'm especially excited about. We did that last year for the first time, and this year we're concentrating that into a single night.
Mm-hmm.
So we have an after-hours lounge on Friday, which is its own very special and very sexy thing, and then that's on Friday, and on Saturday, starting at midnight, we have a very elaborate sort of dance club atmosphere after party that will sort of be the climax, if you will, to the 3 days of lead up.
Mm-hmm.
So we have all that foreplay from the festival, and then we go out with a big bang on Saturday night.
Climax.
Exactly.
Climax.
Yep,
foreplay.
That's right.
I love it. I love it. I love it. So we have 3 whole days to revel in this smut, right? What are the dates again?
It begins on April 29th is the first
day. Coming up very soon.
Very soon. April 29th, April 30th, and May 1st is, so it opens, the 29th is an artist reception. April 30th is the opening night for the public. That's Friday.
Right.
Saturday is all day, and that is the same night the after party happens.
Uh-huh.
And then on Sunday, May 2nd, we have a free open house.
Is that right?
So if you want to just come see the art, if you're not interested so much in the performances, and or if you're just trying to save a little money, you're welcome to come Sunday just to see the art.
Cool. Good, good, good. That's a really nice thing, I might add, that you guys, you know, think about the folks who, you know, during these particularly difficult times, need a little something to do, something fun and creative to do, and doesn't cost a great deal of money. So great for you for thinking about that.
It's also a good time to, if you're interested in just a little more quiet contemplation of the art,
right,
or if you're interested in purchasing a piece and you just want to reflect on it without a whole lot bunch of noise and performance stuff happening, you can take Sunday and come in and look at it more like a gallery and less like a festival.
Right. This has a nice connection to the kink and alternative lifestyle communities here in the Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, besides, you know, the connection with the center and the foundation, this really opens. The festival really opens its doors and welcomes those of us who sometimes are considered to be on the margin.
It's true. The festival, is as much as we're able to accomplish, is meant to be a very welcoming and safe place for everybody. So we try to represent as broad a palette of human sexual expression as we can.
Right.
In my experience so far, has led to groups that might feel otherwise marginalized to feel comfortable expressing themselves.
Right. This is not just in the art that you present or the performances that you present, but also, you know, you welcome people how they express themselves in their own dress and attending.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like Halloween, only completely different.
and we tailor. The way that we describe, we encourage costuming of various kinds for the nights, but we want to make sure people understand that that's not required.
Right.
That people should come in whatever makes them feel comfortable and sexy.
Right. And the event draws people from all over the world, right?
Oh, absolutely.
We know it draws art from all over the world, but people actually put this on their calendar to be here in the Emerald City for.
Yep, that's true. I personally last year was cornered by people from a few different countries, including Japan, South Africa, and there was a few people also visiting from Poland last year. And I'm sure that's just a sampling.
How many people do you expect to attend this year?
We usually draw a few thousand people, a couple thousand people every day.
No kidding.
Yeah.
The title for this year's festival is the Carnival of Curiosities. How did y'all come up with this concept? What is it exactly?
That's a good question. The director that we commissioned for the performance part of the show has created a show around this concept of the Cabinet of Curiosities. So the Cabinet of Curiosities, if I can give a little tiny bit of background, is a cabinet used to mean a room, not a piece of furniture. Like the president's cabinet is a room that used to be a kind of museum. So a Cabinet of Curiosities was one of those things from the 1800s where you would walk in and somebody would have filled it with all manner of things they've collected from around the world, whether that was pieces of art or animal skeletons or little mechanical things or whatever. It was kind of a precursor to a museum. And so a Cabinet of Curiosities in this context is a piece of furniture. So he's adjusted the metaphor, but this piece of furniture shows up in the show, and this character experiences all of these things that come out of the cabinet and wind up giving him permission to express himself as a sexual being and discover what is unique about him. And so we took that concept that's built into the show that we were all really excited about and wrapped the festival in that metaphor. Mm-hmm. So the Carnival of Curiosities, which is what we're calling our big Saturday night, is your opportunity to dress up and show what makes you individually you, and then bring that out on the town for a little show and tell.
I know I'm going to show up in my muumuu.
Excellent. Wow. Brilliant.
Oh, I love it. Were the chosen visual art and performance art pieces expected to conform to the festival theme?
The visual art, absolutely not. In fact, we did not announce that until the call for art closed, because we want artists to submit their best work what they think would best fit the theme. So we reserve announcing that theme until the call closes. But the performance art is very much tailored to match this director's vision, to match Roger's vision of the story he's trying to tell.
Interesting. So there is a guest curator and a jury for each category of art, visual, performance, literary?
There's a guest curator and a jury for all the visual art.
I see.
There's a director who auditioned and cast people for the performance art.
Right.
And then there's a jury for the literary art. So there's no guest curator for the performance or literary art.
I got it. Good.
Yeah.
And the guest curator, who is in charge of like the big picture, would you say? I mean, is there such a person, are you all working together?
The whole shebang. Well, Anna Hurwitz is the festival director.
Uh-huh.
She's the person that I answer to when we're shaping things. She's ultimately holding the whip. Although we're really partners on most things.
Yeah.
And then Claire Johnson is the exhibition director.
Uh-huh.
So she's managing the visual art component of the whole thing.
Interesting.
And then there's a whole host of supporting people that work on the festival. Stuart Stupel is key in that. He's managing all of our logistics.
Mm-hmm.
Shana Dion is managing the literary art part of that. We have a great marketing team. We have a great web team. There's
beautiful posters and stuff, I
thank
might
you.
Add.
Yes,
great
absolutely.
Stuff.
Yes,
great
absolutely.
Stuff. It's art in itself.
It is art in itself. And I would love to just mention Monica, who is our design person who's been slaving away, and is probably slaving away right now, as a matter of fact, working on more materials for us.
Huh.
Yeah, beautiful.
How many people does it take to put on a 3-day affair like this?
There's
including the volunteers and stuff.
Oh, it's all volunteers. So the festival is primarily run by volunteers, and there's a steering committee of us who meet once a month and work on the bulk of things, and that's about 25 mm-hmm. people.
Mm-hmm.
There's a smaller group of us who are a little more focused, of 4 or 5 of us.
Yes.
And then when it comes to the festival itself, there's a couple hundred people that come together to put up the walls and paint them and hang the art and dress the room and
it's put up and take down kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, we build a theater, a nightclub, and an art gallery from scratch in 3 days, and then take it down, you know, when the weekend is over.
Right. Do you still have need for volunteers?
Oh yes, we most certainly do. Thank you for asking.
So,
we definitely do.
So if I wanted to volunteer, what would I do?
I would recommend going to the website.
Right.
So that is,
and that is
SeattleErotic.org.
Uh-huh.
And there is a link on there that says volunteer,
uh-huh.
and there's some descriptions on there of everything we need.
Uh-huh.
So we need things like, we need people to help install the art.
Right.
We need people to run the box office, to be greeters and
docents.
Yeah, all manner of volunteer positions, and that's actually a good way to get into the festival if you're a little short on funds.
Right.
Volunteers get in for free.
Right. And I know that you guys, at least last year, you had a bar and stuff like that. So
mm-hmm.
You probably need bartenders and.
The bar staff is actually contracted in.
Oh,
so
is
we,
that
yeah,
right?
We do have. We do pay for bar staff,
okay.
but there's all sorts of similar service-related positions
mm-hmm.
that you can get dressed up and come help with.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just looking at my clock, and I noticed that our time is up for today, and yet I have so much more to ask you, and we're getting some nice background noise from Ginger the dog. It's you getting antsy. So may I ask you to come back next week and continue this conversation?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Good,
thanks
good,
for
good, good.
Me.
So again, give us your website address and possibly walk us around a little bit.
Great. The website for the festival is SeattleErotic.org, and that is actually a brand new site that was just relaunched, and we're quite happy with it. It has the names of all the artists that are showing. It shows the performers that you can expect. It gives you a little calendar of what's going on which days, and some insight on which of those days might suit you best.
Right, right, right. And you can buy tickets through there?
You can,
yes.
Yep, there's a link right on there.
And there's also some packages, is that not
That's
correct?
True, yeah, you can buy a pass for the whole weekend.
Ah.
We also have a very deluxe package if you'd like to indulge in, we call that the Velvet Ticket, and that includes some really special perks, including somebody to walk you around all night at the festival and make sure that you are taken care of in the most indulgent of ways.
And we'll leave that to your imagination.
Exactly.
I'll pursue that quietly and privately after this tape runs out. So again, Clayton, thank you for your time. And between now and then, we will be visiting you in cyberspace.
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me.
Bye.
Hey, what a great show, huh? Well, tune in next week for part 2 of my interview with Clayton Hibbert and more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is AdultSexToys.com. Shopping for sex toys is a very personal thing, and not everyone shares the same tastes. That's why AdultSexToys.com carries over 8,000 different adult products, and new items are being added all the time.
Oh, that's a girl. Oh, what is that?
Not sure what to buy? Check out their best sellers page. The recommendations section, which can be found at the top of many of their sex toy categories, or simply use their advanced search function to help you find the ideal sex toy for you or a friend. AdultSexToys.com believes that the world of adult products is best explored in a safe, private, and secure setting, like your home. What better way to find precisely what you're looking for? And hey, they offer discreet shipping and billing too. Don't miss their hot sale items, where you can score the most popular toys for up to half price off. And remember, you will never pay sales tax at AdultSexToys.com. Look for their handsome banner in the sidebar of my site and pay them a visit. Tell them Dr. Dick sent you.
But not tonight. How about you and me going out for a beer?
Are you sure you want to be seen with the likes of me? And look for all of my podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health Subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe, and feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.